I think we'll go ahead and start
so we can get through all the material. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about what I shared last time, and I know there's new faces, so we'll backtrack on some things. And the thing we were talking last time, well, I was mainly talking about hope, and hope being a positive imagination. But as I was listening to this and was studying this, a whole new world has opened up as far as how much our imagination was designed by God to be used by to come into to revelation of teaching, because you know that we see in pictures, and this element of seeing is so big. We can have head knowledge of things, but it's when you actually can see it. You see the things that God has said. You see them being able to come to pass. You see yourself the way the Bible tells you you are. And as I've studied this, I've seen that our imagination is such a big part of it. And we know that the imagination, you know, can be on the negative side. Because when you start to worry, you start to see picture. Things start being a picture in your mind of the things that could go wrong, of what could be the final outcome of it, and you are seeing a picture. And I think whenever it goes into a place where you are starting to see a picture, that's when it has such an effect on your life. You know, I shared last time about Brother Hagin was talking to this one lady, and she was an elderly evangelist. She had won souls, had done all these amazing things for God. Well, she was 82. She was dying of cancer. In fact, her stomach was so big that, you know, it was like a huge tumor. And Brother Hagin went and talked to her and said, you know what, you know, because she says, I'm just ready to die. And he goes, but don't die like this. You know, let God heal you, and then if you want to go on. And so he said, he talked about how he had had the time when he was in bed. He was an invalid for over a year, year and a half. And during that time period, you can imagine, there were nights when he almost did die, and there were times he was between life and death. And he would talk about how the picture started being painted, where he could tell you every scenario of how the funeral was going to be. You know, and that picture was starting to be, and then he got in that about, you know, not letting the word depart from before your eyes, about, you know, attending to the word, about keeping it in your heart. And I realized it was just the Holy Spirit, where he didn't even quite understand if the Holy Spirit was endeavoring for him to keep this before your eyes, see this picture. And he said, the Holy Spirit just rose up within him and said, what would you be doing if you were well? And he said, I'd be preaching. So he said that he started just to write sermons. And he said, I think out of all those sermons, he only ever preached one. But he started having a sight. He started using his imagination, where he started seeing himself preaching. He started seeing himself to be able to do things. And so he told this woman, he said, now see this tumor down. See yourself out preaching. See yourself winning souls. And so then he shares that he was quite some time later, this lady comes up and gives him a hug. And that was so unusual, you know, for Brother Hagin. And he started to almost like push her away. He didn't even recognize her. And then he realized it was the same 82-year-old lady who had been at the last days of her life. And she said, I'm so glad you didn't let me die. She said, after you left, I started speaking to this tumor. I started seeing it flat. I started seeing myself preaching. Well, we know that you can't just have that happen just because of wishful thinking. You know, you can't just use fantasy. But she had, you know, prayed all these things. She had prayed for people. This word was in her. And she let that word of God start to paint the picture. And so many times it says, you know, our tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And even as we're starting to speak the word, we're letting that word come alive and paint a picture in our hearts. And so I can see that it is so important that we let our imagination be for good. And most of the time, anytime we're having a picture in our hearts that's kind of negative, we're not usually going to tell anybody. You know, anyway, but
that's where I can see that when the battles are big, it is so important, because there'll be such a strong voice and such a strong pull the other way, that we just witnessed this. Someone who didn't talk the fear, didn't talk about making, not making it, but later we could see, as we would hear things that she said, that there wasn't that assurance in her heart that we heard her speak on all these other times before in her life. And so I really do think that even though she never expressed it, I think during all these times of this last year of her illness, I think there was a picture being painted in her heart. You know, just by, and I can look back now and see why the battle seemed so hard, because we, when we were with her and we would talk, I didn't pick up any fear. I never dreamed she wouldn't make it. But then later, in fact, this just happened to us. Later, as we went back and thought about the last visit we had with her, I could start to pick up things that were said. And I thought, oh, a picture was being painted in her heart. And not anything negative, but I just recognize that with all of us, that praise God, that we can have things. I think what it is, it's when we start to realize that we're having any kind of a negative picture, that this isn't going to be fulfilled, or anything even about ourselves, or that this is not going to go right with this child, whatever it could be, is that we really do arrest it. And then we take the action, you know, to have the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and paint the picture. And then we do whatever we need to do in meditating the Word of God to get that truth deep in our hearts, so what we truly see. And I will go back and give this other illustration that I gave last time, and then we'll start with the scriptures. But some of you will remember probably when I was sharing last time that this lady was I think she was the pastor's wife, and her sight was so bad that she had to have these glasses that were like Coke bottle glasses. And she had been prayed for so many times and disappointed that when this healing evangelist was coming to her church, she was actually avoiding him on purpose, because she didn't even want to go through this again. So you know, the picture that was on the inside of her heart was that disappointment of being prayed for over and over again and that not working. And so the evangelist, though, knew he was to pray for her. And so one night, he maneuvered it where he had her, where she couldn't get away. And he said, "Can I pray for you?" But see, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He'll find the ways to unlock that unbelief, you know, if we'll trust him. And so he said to her, you know, he had to close her eyes. So then he told her, he said, "Now, can you see yourself seeing?" And she, "Can you see?" So she opened her eyes. He said, "No, I told you, don't, you know, close your eyes." And so he asked her the second time, "Can you see? Now, can you see?" And she opened up her eyes and he goes, "No." He said, "Close your eyes. I didn't tell you to open your eyes." And she's like, "What?" So then the third time, he said to her this, he said, "Can you see yourself seeing?" With her eyes totally closed, he's asked her, "Can you see yourself seeing?" She got it. And she said, "Give me a minute." She sat there with her eyes closed, praying in tongues. And then she told him, "I can see it." She opened her eyes and she could see. So it's that part where we see it so much on the inside that the outside evidence isn't what sways us. It's the inside. And so I have scriptures, and I went ahead and I did put them on paper, because what I would have you doing, you would be just going from all over the Bible. You know, and sometimes, it's good that we usually see it, but you know, sometimes you can get so busy turning to the scripture and you're almost grabbing that scripture you know, when we're going to another one. And since I'm going to be jumping all over the Bible, I'm going to read, you know, most of them to you. And so, of course, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is one of them that I did know when it came about talking about imaginations. And it was one that we've used, you know, referring to negative imaginations. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When we have confessed the scripture or seen the scripture, we've known that it says to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we've known that there's an imagination that is negative and an imagination that is good. And so we've already said that when it comes time that you're recognizing that there's something exalting itself above the Word of God, then it must be cast down. And of course, we know the way it's going to be cast down is by bringing every thought captive. And so as I went through, and you're thinking about bringing thoughts captive and imagination, then you recognize the way that, like, one of the ways that this would so work is worry. When you are worrying, you have just had an imagination that's exalting itself against the Word of God. When we see ourselves in defeat, we have just started to have an imagination that's exalting itself against the Word of God. So I want to, so I'm going to go ahead and just say that in Genesis 6:5, see, I'm supposed to say and turn to. In Genesis 6:5, it says, "And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil. So imagination can take you to a place of evil. And one of the main ways this happens is by what we watch, by what we hear, by what we think on. And so it even goes on to say in the next verse that God was sad that he'd made man. I mean, I think one of the first times any of us ever read that. But it says that the evil, the wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. We know the only way that could have happened was if God was out of the scene. But the thing that I want us to notice is in Genesis 6:5, when it uses that word imagination, then there's other places in the Bible that same word is used. And sometimes it uses imagination, sometimes another word is used. But if you go to Psalms 1:2, which we've all thought of as a positive scripture, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." That same word for meditate there is the same word as imagination that was just in the previous scripture. So what can be used negative is because it's been perverted. And so anything that is working against us that's been perverted, we know there's an original plan with God that brings blessing. And so he is saying that it says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. And it'll prove it when you go to Psalms 2:1, when it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" It's the same word. So when you have this word meditate, it is translated imagination in some places. In some places it's translated meditate. In other places it's even translated understanding. So when you think about that, it says, coming back to the fact that in his word we meditate day and night. And that word is the same word as imagination. Then it shows that part of meditating is imagination. So when you take a scripture and you start thinking on it, you don't stop with just being able to speak it back to get the very depth of it. You go over that scripture and keep letting your imagination see it be your truth. See it be who you are. When we're talking about a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, we can quote that, but we let our imagination start to paint the picture because we see in pictures. And we sometimes, I think, when we've meditated the word, we've tried to do too much. We've tried to take too many things. And sometimes we've never had a certain truth where we see it, but you know, it's so real in the inside of you that you know, but you know it's true. And any time it says that when you have something that you say, you always see it on the inside first. And so when that, like let's say that scripture, that you would say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You could even take that, you would break it down, and you would just go over that. I'm a new creation. And lots of times you can take other teaching, other understanding to bring greater light to something. So even as you do meditate on it, but if take, and we'll do, and I'm hoping that we can have a time to at the end to go through a few more, and we'll just even practice this. There's stories in the Bible with Jesus. We can take any of these stories in the Bible and we can know them, but we can sit there and let our imagination, and then we can let this imagination about who we are. That he said he'll make us fishers of men. He'll say these different truths about it. And so we use the imagination. Our imagination. We let our minds so become involved with seeing ourselves doing this. Seeing ourselves lay hands on the sick. I think as we would keep meditating on this, sometimes I think we'd even start dreaming it. We'd see ourselves be the one that would have an answer. And so the meditation in Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Now in this scripture, who would have ever thought without studying this that mind here also is the same word translated imagination? He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind, whose imagination is stayed on thee because you trust in thee. In fact, in this word, this word is the very same one that was used in Genesis 6:5 when it says they had the evil imagination. It's the same word. So only just that it's in a positive way. So you can see there's a negative side of imagination, but then there's the right side, the true side of imagination. And it says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, his imagination, is stayed on thee. And stayed means to grab hold of, fix position, because he trusts in thee. And if you even read the next scripture, it'll even talk about how you lean on God because he's your rock. Well, right there, you could start to have your imagination recognize he's a rock. My God is a rock. But when it says that your mind is stayed on him, that he'll keep him in perfect peace, that word there even goes into deeper thought and says that imagination word there means conception. Mm-hmm. When you start thinking on something long enough, your life will even start pulling that way. It says, he whose mind is stayed on the Lord will be in perfect peace. Because if your mind is totally on everything in the natural, and not that we aren't engaged in the natural, but if that's where all of your mind is thinking on, of what's going on in the world, of all the things happening, then your mind it's very hard at that time to stay in that perfect peace. And this does not mean la-la land. I'm not talking about someone who never has to deal with anything and is in this, not in an escape mode. But if your mind is continually hooking back up to God, continually seeing God as the answer, then no matter what is happening here, we will be in that place of peace. First Chronicles 29:18, it says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the hearts of the people and prepare their heart unto thee. And I need to back up and say, this is when David had taken this amazing offering for the temple. And he had given all the silver and gold. Remember that it amounted to millions. And then he was so excited that all these other people had responded in this level. And they had given an amount for this temple that was just amazing. And David was so blessed because he had seen the people's hearts for God and he had seen what had happened. And so he is saying to God, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the people. So there are times when we've had these things in God where it's so great if we'll make a landmark. Make a monument, so to speak. In fact, I recognize that I'm going to go back and do this more. I need to go back in my life and rehearse all these times when God has done amazing things for me. And use my imagination to even go back and remember these times and have them be landmarks in my life. Because then when you have even something negative going on, you have these landmarks. He says, keep this forever in their imagination. And sometimes we need to go back and stir up those. And it may not be something that would be amazing to someone else. Maybe it was when you just had the Lord, you knew he directed you somewhere. You knew that he had made some provision for you. You knew that he had done something special in your life. And so it may not be something that to somebody else that they might recognize, but it was a touch of God in your life. And if we will keep these things in our remembrance and rehearse them, then there's a part of that I don't know, it just puts something in your life, because when you're going through and you know, it talks about you talk of his loving kindness and his mercy in the morning and his faithfulness by night. That as you go through and you can rehearse these things, maybe it's when you got saved or one of your kids got saved or something happening. Because what happens is we can take some things and just let them become, that has happened. But when you let the Holy Spirit take it and with your imagination, remember this and stir yourself up with this and being so grateful for it, it's like it puts something in your life that it affects your heart. When we're going and you're praising him and you're thanking him that he's good, you know, you're good. We can say, you're good. But when you have some things even in your heart that say, how many of us are so grateful that someone came along and gave us teaching? I mean, the revelation that when you finally knew that God was good.
Yeah.
You know that when people are saying, you know, God let this happen and God let that happen, and you know he's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a price tag for some of this knowledge that mm-hmm. we've been able to have? And so, and how he's led our steps in these different things. And that's one of the reasons it'll say, like in 1 Peter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And again, that word mind there is also the same word that's translated imagination. Be sober and hope to the end. We know the story of that, you know, when they had their robes and when they were going to prepare for any kind of battle, they would have to gird up the loins of their minds. And they'd have to gird up their robes. And so I think what it's talking about is in our imaginations. It's like whenever we start catching it, that a picture is being painted in our mind that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Then it's that girding up our loins. And even some of this is painting pictures, even if something hasn't happened yet. just like our friend. I had seen her have victory and victory and victory, and she still, to me, had victory, because, I mean, she's just so awesome. But I recognized this last battle was so big for her. And so, not to be fear-based, but it was even a thing for me to recognize all these truths. Isn't that exciting to know that we can have these truths become so real? That I think I shared with you last time that I'd had a little bit of concern about the ministry of where we could be maybe going. And right when I said that, I caught it. I had let the enemy start to paint a picture that maybe we weren't being as effective as we had been, and we have all these invitations to go overseas, but will we make it? If you would have told me that I was getting negative about it, I don't even think I recognized it. But that's what's so great about the light that comes from the Spirit of God.
Yes.
But I will tell you, down deep, I was starting to have a picture painted, and that little voice right there saying, oh, you guys maybe aren't as effective as you were a couple years ago. Well, isn't that something you wouldn't think you would just go, you know? And that's that casting down the high imagination. I hadn't said it before. I wouldn't have even told you that so much I was thinking it. But when it really came down to it, I recognized there had been the subtle picture that was wanting to be painted. But, oh, you know. And so, you know what I've done? I started recognizing where that came from. And that's where it's like, I started, you know, and it's kind of amazing. After I changed that, some of the other things started changing, and two other missionaries that have wanted us to come, you know, have talked about us coming. And I finally realized, Lord, you know, just taking these breaks off, you know, and letting you paint the picture and having that picture of victory. And so it's the Word of God. But I think we've got, you know, to get so honest. If our imagination is painting anything, if there's pictures being painted, does that line up with the Word? And getting it where sometimes it will be that speaking, but sometimes it will take maybe not trying to do so many scriptures, but whatever that area is, staying on that scripture and tell your imagination until you see it. Oh, I can see it. I heard this Andrew Womack talk about when he was getting this building, and, you know, it looked like there was no way they could have the money come in, you know. And he said that they had him take, and they put the tape down on the floor where all the doors were, you know, and where all the walls were. And he said he went to that building hours and hours, and he said he never would walk over the tape where a wall was. You know, and he always made sure he went through the doors. And in fact, he said he even got two old cans and put a board across them. And on this place where the stage was going to be, got up there and sat there and preached sermons. And he stayed in there until the Holy Spirit, I mean, like, you know, night after night, he'd go there and he'd walk that building and he'd see it. I see the walls up. I see the walls up. I know, Lord, there's the answer. You know, and he would wait until, like, he'd see it. And when they would, and one time they came and they said, you know, the city says it's off. It's off. It's over. You know, this is even on a different property. They decided they don't want to work with you. No more zoning. No more meetings. It's over. And Andrew said, I don't know how it's going to work, but he said, that's not what I see. That's not what I see. He said, that's not what I see. And that's where it comes, where this Word of God, if there's a certain area, it's painting, it's letting the Word paint that picture and our minds mulling over it and seeing it. And seeing, like, there's a certain part that I'm believing for in healing, and I've just been taking myself and I was speaking it, but I've been just like, Lord, I see my body without that. I see my body without that.
Yes.
You paid for the price for that.
Yes.
That I in the spirit realm, in the spirit realm, I'm totally healed, and that's totally gone. Father, I thank you that, and then, Lord, I thank you. I see that. I see that off my body. I see that. I see that changed. And so it's just, you know, you can't take, you know, I'm giving you just a tool, you know, because, and it's a place that I could tell as I have gone over this, that part with understanding and imagination, that Jesus, I know he so, he said everything he did is what he saw the fathers do. He was so adept at seeing in the spirit.
Yeah.
He saw, he was able to go to the cross, and he was able to ignore the shame because he saw the joy of us. He saw at times in his life, he saw the finished thing. He saw it.
Yeah.
He saw Lazarus already up. He saw it. He saw that fish already multiplying. He saw these things in the spirit. When Abraham, and remember on the story, he was talked about, you know, that you're going to have, seed descendants like the sand and like the stars. Sometimes God will even give us something in the natural to see, to keep the vision.
Yeah. That's good.
In Luke 1:51, it says, he has showed strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. Again, it talks about the imagination of their hearts. And this word actually even means understanding. That understanding is tied to your imagination. And in 14 other times, the word is used is understanding. And I think one of them, it really surprised me. Because in Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That this word understanding here is the same word translated on imagination. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened that you may know the hope of your calling. The eyes of your heart. So really, we know that our natural eyes see natural things and our eyes of our heart these spiritual things. So really what it is, the eyes of our heart seeing and seeing in pictures, it works with your imagination. I hope this doesn't sound complicated. All what we're talking about is we just stay on these truths until you see them. You know, we see God meeting our needs. We see, you know, having the right words maybe to share with a neighbor. We see what God says about us. That how God sees us. Dennis is going to be teaching on the blood. You know, and as we know that with a part with the blood, that when the blood was shed, how God doesn't see us at all like we used to be. He sees us through that blood. He sees us as Jesus Christ. You know, and I think one of the things that coming into with the imagination of even what we're talking about, because imagination with the Bible is not fantasy. It's just that your mind sees what God says in his word through that picture. That picture that the blood of Jesus that was shed. And it so covers you that when the Father sees you, he doesn't see you with any imperfections. He doesn't see you with any of your mistakes. That blood, he sees you through the blood. He sees you pure. He sees you righteous. He sees you in Christ.
Amen.
So any of these truths on how God sees us, I want us to spend just a couple minutes with a few of the scriptures and just doing what we just said. You know, now this one, I'm going to even start with Mary has done Psalms 91 so many times, and I think she even covered this, you know, this one part about the different names of God. See, that's what's so wonderful about Revelation, is how you can read something and you see other words, and then all of a sudden you read it one time and something else just jumps up that's just profound. And so in Psalms 91, when it says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, it says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. So many times when I've read that, I've had my mind on, oh, I'm dwelling. Or I've had my mind on, oh, the secret place. You know, what's the secret place? And that you could do that. And about that you're going to be stable and fixed. And that he, the refuge. And then this last time, a couple days ago when I was reading it, all of a sudden the words that jumped out was, I had never caught before that he uses even different names of God as he's talking. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of who? The Most High. You know, he doesn't just say things to be saying things. And then he says, in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, why would he need to say Most High and then the next word he says, shadow of the Almighty? And then you go on to the next line and he calls him Lord. And so you realize there's purpose with everything he says. So sometimes you can even go back and you can then look it up. And I started just to meditate on these different words. And it says that, you know, like the Most High is just, you can look up a lot of different things, but really what it just means is Most High. I mean, he's the uppermost. And so we're talking about, you know, that you're dwelling in this secret place, and it's of the Most High. So any other God, anything else, it's just literally, he is the Most High. And he's the uppermost. And then when it comes to saying, so it says, I'm going to be in that secret place of the Most High, and I'm going to remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, Almighty was saying, is saying, it's the same as El Shaddai, it's all-powerful, unconquerable, God's greatness, his strength, it refers to like a mountain. It says it's the all-sufficient God, eternally capable of being all that his people ever need. So now all of a sudden, you see, I'm going over several of them. We could spend time on just thinking about, for a little bit, about he's the Most High. And then recognize he's almighty. That means if he's almighty, it says he's unconquerable. It's things we know, but we can stay on it longer, or we can get ourselves where we actually see it. Yeah. So as we're even reading, I'm going to be stable and fixed under Almighty, under someone who's unconquerable, under someone who is all-sufficient. He's eternally capable of being all that his people need. I'm going to remain stable and fixed under the one who's capable of being all that I could ever need. And when it says Lord, it mainly means just master. He's the one who owns me. So, and then probably one of the most important ones is my God. Because you could know all the other names, but if you didn't know he's my God, then that's what's so important. And so, you know, of course, you could go through this and you could just meditate on dwelling, on secret place, about realizing it's still stable and fixed. You know, I can really be stable and fixed. It says, no power, no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord. We know the saying's really important. He's my refuge and my fortress. On him I lean and rely. But isn't that fun to see how the God can work? How you can read a scripture, and then all of a sudden you read it one time, and you think,
I never even paid attention that he even had different names said.
And so I want us to go to Psalms 92. And I'll quit here in just a minute. The beginning of this, verses 1 and 2, one of the reasons that I just wanted to mention this one is sometimes we just have to get stirred up with things. And the Lord was just having me go to Psalms 1 and 2, and it was just stirring up worship in me again. Because it says, it is good and a delightful thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night. I started studying on this, and it's amazing how many places it'll talk about loving kindness and faithfulness. It's amazing how many times it'll talk about loving kindness and mercy in the morning. And there's other places where it mentioned faithfulness at night. Mm-hmm. So I started just having that image in my heart, painting that. You know, it talks about his mercies are new every morning. Remember in Lamentations how we've always quoted about, it's Lamentations, I think, 3:23, it talks about his mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice until I read it again recently. Do you know the end of it? Talks about his faithfulness. Bernard, you knew that, didn't you? Because I just quoted about his mercies new every morning. And so, you know, I started painting a picture in my heart with this, you know, for myself. And see, sometimes what really ministers to one person won't so much, but I thought, his mercies new every morning. And his faithfulness every night. And so as I started to even to paint that picture for myself, like in the morning, I might start to forget. And because what I'm doing is I'm stirring up my heart. And I'm starting, because what it is, it's making me acknowledge him and thanking him for his mercy and his loving kindness. I've even been studying some more on loving kindness. Because, to be honest with you, I never liked that song about his loving kindness is better than life. And I couldn't even figure out why I didn't, and I never even understood what is loving kindness. But when you talk about kindness, and then it says loving kindness, and all through the Psalms, it talks about loving kindness. And, well, it's just about it almost every Psalm. So if it's mentioned almost every Psalm, it's about his mercy, it's about his goodness. Maybe some of it comes back to his goodness and his greatness. But then his faithfulness every night. And I realized that every night, if I would go back to his faithfulness, it would help me to recognize what God had done that day. And so for me, it's just kind of like helping me to get my focus in the morning and in the evening. And so I want to close with this last one in Psalms 92. You know, because we can go in all different places in the Bible and just use this part with imagination. Sometimes, like in Psalms 92, this part, it's easier because there's so many adjectives, especially when you use the Amplified. It's full of adjectives, and that adjectives can help really paint pictures. And so now for some of you, this is going to seem really not very relevant because it's for people that are older. So, but I would love it. If you want to quote this for me, If you ever had that in your heart of speaking this psalm and you want to speak this over me, I'd love it. And so it says in Psalms 92, and we'll do 12-13. We'll just do 12-15, and then I'll close. And it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." That means they're going to be long-lived, and they're stately, and they're upright, and they're useful. And you can go through every one of those and ponder and start to have that picture. Long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. And they shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable and durable and incorruptible. Can you see how that can start to paint that picture? Well, then what we can do is we can not just stop with just words, but we can go back and let that image be so painted in our picture that, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I can be useful. I can be fruitful. I can be stable. And then it says, planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. And growing in grace, they're going to still bring forth fruit in old age. So we're not, you know, I'm not going to say I'm old, but I'm recognizing, getting more grateful for things. And so this is more even my, I've been declaring this. It says, they shall be full of sap. So I'm saying I'm sappy. And I'm happy I'm sappy. And the Holy Spirit even said once about being sappy. And then when I found this, I was so happy. So I'm sappy. It says I'm full of spiritual vitality.
Amen.
And rich in the virtue of trust, love, and contentment. So as we're growing in grace, we're going to still bring forth fruit in old age. We're going to be full of sap. Full of vitality,
amen.
Full of trust, and they're going to be living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness. So if you kids want to sometime, I'll gladly have you call me a palm tree and a cedar and any scriptures that you want to confess. So anyway, hallelujah. You know, that's where it says in Jeremiah that, you know, that I'm like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, you know, and I'm going to, and even in the drought and even in the heat, my leaf isn't going to wither and I'm going to bring forth fruit. So hallelujah. He's going to paint pictures. So Father, I thank you that you have given us imagination. I thank you that we will start to see ourselves as you see us. I thank you that we will let the Word of God paint the picture of who we are, of how you see us, of the promises coming to pass. I thank you any negative picture that has started to be painted in any of us, any negative picture of defeat, any negative picture of what you have for the rest of our lives. I thank you, Lord, the light is shining on that. The power of that is broken. I thank you, Lord, that we're seeing what we need to see. I thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you've given us imagination and that we will use that. We will use that imagination. I thank you, Lord. I thank you even now. There's change in us, Lord. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.